Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and we are back for another Uncomfortable. And today, we want to talk about delay. You know, what does it mean when God doesn't always answer, or maybe he's just delayed in answering, or the answer that we're seeking seems like he's placed a delay on it? Does it mean that he's saying no, or does it mean that he's saying not yet? Let's even throw a little bit more of a monkey wrench into this to really make people say, what happens if, you know, you even feel like maybe there's a relationship you're not supposed to be a part of, and you want to believe that it's a not yet, even though you feel like it's a no? So could that mean later, or does it always mean no, not at all? Dun, dun, dun. I'm just saying, I mean, I've heard a couple of people, especially around the teenage and young adult years, you know, especially when they're in that area of their life where they're feeling Twitter-pated and, you know, they're really in love. They want a relationship because they're kind of lonely, or maybe they are in love, or they just think they're in love. But sometimes they'll feel a Holy Spirit whisper that says, this is not the one. But because of their emotions, they won't even want to back out of that situation. So then sometimes they'll go back and say, well, is it that God just doesn't want this right now, or is it not at all? So this conversation, as you could tell, could get quite juicy if we're not careful. Because, you know, we're going to get into a section or this area where people are going to be very uncomfortable, because we've all been there. When we're young, we made stupid decisions. We've made, you know, idiotic and ignorant judgments. Not that we were trying to. We thought that we were doing the right thing, or we hoped, you know, because we didn't want to be lonely, or we thought, you know, maybe we're not going to find the right one. But when we would allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for a season, then we would find out that, you know, God was answering us. It just wasn't necessarily the way that we wanted to be answered sometimes. I mean, at least that's been my experience many times over the years, Vince, is that many times it's not that he's saying not yet or no. It's more or less normally, I mean, and he might be saying not yet, and he might be saying no. But, I mean, many times our interpretation is according to what we want to hear. Because a lot of times what happens is we need to, especially in tough situations, run things that we're feeling by someone. And if someone says, yeah, I feel like that's the Lord, we need to be taking what the Lord's telling us over our emotions 100% of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that you told on yourself, though. I mean, showing that you're not perfect. And I know we're talking about your early life and not mine. Goodness.
Oh, my.
Not just funning around. No, I do like this. Like I said before we got on this one, that this one could just kind of be, if we're not careful, we could be very ambiguous, go down many, 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 many rabbit trails. I think when, like you said, when we're young especially this generation that we sit in, not just the younger generation, but as in our current dispensation, we're all kind of in that space of microwave mentality. I've prayed, I've set the timer for a couple of minutes, and I'm waiting for God. I'm waiting for the bell to ding so I can pull it out of the microwave and it's done. But that's not, I mean, God doesn't change, thankfully, because our technology has changed.
Amen. Thank God for that.
Right?
I
So.
mean, if we'd wait for the Lord to catch up to what we want, I mean, we'd be quite in a bad situation. Almost like someone who bought milk, left it in the refrigerator, says, "I'll get to it whenever, no big
Oh.
deal." And then you go and you're like, "Yeah, I'm ready for that milk." And you open the can, that the cap up, and you're like, "Whoa,
Ooh,
I
it's
have smelt
turned.
feet that are better than that." Some ripe feet after a
Accurate.
marathon that's better than that.
Accurate.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, okay, I should not have waited. I don't care what I thought, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, we get in this mentality that when things are convenient to us, it's okay to act.
You know, I let's start to paint a little bit of a picture though, right? So we've got things that we could say we've waited a long time for, and it's been a day, a couple days, maybe even a week. What about when there's things that you're believing for and you're praying for, or even people and healing that you're praying for, breakthrough that you're praying for, and it's been 6, 8 months, it's been a year, maybe 5, 10 years, and you still haven't seen it yet.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually know people, and you've met them too, that have gone through situations that, well, you haven't met the person that went through this situation, but you met the result, the person that was the result. But I've known people who
Gotcha.
have been praying for years for their loved ones for salvation, never saw the fruition of it, even after 30 to 40 years of praying, passed away. Loving the person, praying for the person, and then through a season after them passing, Holy Spirit moved on the person's heart that they were praying for and led them into salvation and caused them to come into full repentance for the way they were
Wow.
living before. So, we're not always going to see some sort of magical thing that's going on, right? There's going to be many times that things are not going to look like we want them to look.
Well, I mean, to go back to the statement, God's not a genie. You can't just rub the lamp and get 3 wishes.
Really? He's not a genie that I can just say, rub his belly and say, "Hey, I need some help here."
No, it's not like that. So, I mean, here's the thing that we've got to, if we break it out, we got to break it out. I'd have to start with this, right? So, if we're gonna look at it, God sees the whole picture. He
Absolutely.
sees it. He saw the beginning from the end. He saw the end from the beginning. He already had the end plotted out before the beginning even happened.
Plot
So,
twist.
because he doesn't live inside the confines of time, right? He's beyond that dimensionary aspect. So it's he sees things that we don't. And sometimes and listen, my pastor says this one so often in church and in Bible study, that even when he starts to say it, when he quotes the he says, "Oh, Isaiah," even now thinking about it, I'm getting that oh in the back of my spine. He says, Isaiah 55:8 says, and everybody's like, "Yeah, we know. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways," declares the Lord. And it's like, oh man. It's like, come on, Lord. And it's just a reminder, God has a plan for your life. Yes, everybody quotes Jeremiah 29:11 in this happy-go-lucky, God has a plan for you. And yes, he does. And we love that when we need that encouragement. The problem is we don't like to walk that out. The plan doesn't mean you're given this set of I mean, let's look at this. If you're given a set of blueprints for a house, does that mean that the house is built?
I think you're just cussing now.
I mean, come on. If I'm given a set of blueprints for free, beautiful, wonderful blueprints, and it's everything I ever wanted in a home. Everything's there. And I was given a set of blueprints and all the materials I would ever need. And it just gets delivered to the site. I got to put in the work.
Wait
But
a
me
minute.
and
You're
God
saying
have to
people
put the
don't just
work in
show up
together.
and it doesn't magically come together? People actually have to plan?
Yup. So no, it's not just about planning, because I mean, we have to be careful in what we plan too, because I think it's important to plan, but I think it's important that those plans have been submitted to the Lord, and allowing him to either lead you to make the plan or to correct the plan if you put it out there, and not just a, hey, God bless my mess.
You don't want to do
I
the
mean,
bless my mess thing? Come on.
no, I don't think that's wise. I really don't. I think bless the mess is kind of, well, it's just messy.
Just
So
messy.
just messy. So let's look at it like this, right? So there's times where you pray for something and you get this, you're like a yes, here it is, boom. You're like, yes, God is amazing. Power of God was all over it. The Lord came through for me. And then there's sometimes, what about here, Kirk? You and I have heard this one a few times, probably. Well, definitely. And I know you probably loved it just as much as I did. Lord, I'm asking for this. I'm praying for this. And he's like, no.
Oh yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, that's not in your best interest, son. No, thank you." And you're like, "But Lord,
Wait, what are you doing?
like, what are you doing? I think I know what I need, Lord." And he's like, "Yeah, not really."
Not really. Yeah. That's, man, those no's are like, wait, hold up. That was a little too fast. I'm gonna need you to slow down with that no.
And it seems like the things that you pray about, that he really wants you to do. It's almost like, and it's not always the case. So if you're hearing this
Right.
today, it doesn't mean that this is going to be the de facto standard to live by. But
Yeah, right.
it seems like many times that when we're praying and interceding over something to say, Lord, I need to know 100% before I move forward on this because this is life changing. Those are generally the things where we already know, we just don't want to do it. It's not convenient. He's asking us to do something large. And so we're sitting there praying, interceding, sometimes fasting and praying. And we're like, but Lord, I need to know. I need you to send an angel from heaven and blow the trumpet. And I need to know for sure that it needs to be like a neon sign in the sky that says, yes, this is the way I must go. That's just not the way he works most of the time.
No, I think about. There's a teacher here that used to come here back in the day when you and I were here. And I heard it from him. I heard it from several people after that too, was when they're taking up an offering and you're praying, Lord, what do I give? Said, if two numbers appear in your head, or come pop in your head, he said, go with the higher number. And some kid decided that he was gonna be brave enough to raise his hand, and he asked the question that was on everybody's mind in the classroom. Well, how do you know that's from the Lord, or that's just you? And how do you know that that's not just one of these pastors just wanting to get more money out of you?
Ooh,
And
he
teacher's
asked the
like,
question.
great question. Hey, it was on most of our minds too. So he asked it. And the teacher said, well, yeah, sure, you're right. But let me ask you this. If you had a $100 bill and you had a dollar bill in your hand, and you had to go, you had a bill to pay that was, say, $80, which one would you give? Like, well, I'd give the dollar because I need the $80. Okay, what if God told you to give the 100? Well, I would have to wonder if that was the Lord. Why? Well, because God wouldn't want me to not pay my bill. Well, what if God would have it planned out for you to pay the bill a different way, or different manner? And you know, we hear stories about that here all the time with students and their school bills. This one kid, he talked about it last semester. He had gotten 140 something dollars for doing something to help somebody. He needed $300. He was going to go put that on a school bill. He gets this money. He's excited. All right, I'm almost halfway there. And then the Lord tells him, okay, I want you to go give that money to so and so. And he's like, wait, hold up, Jesus. I'm gonna need to have this conversation with you. I don't like this answer.
Ow.
And so he gives him the money and he's like, Lord, I still need $300. And God's like, I know, I got it. And I think it was like a day or two later, somebody showed up and put $300 on his account and paid it, like the exact amount that he needed. And I was like, yep, that's about accurate. That's about how that goes. Like, God's not in it to just answer it the way you want it. I've said this, you know, I initially said it, and it was kind of this like novelty thought in my head, like okay, like this is just random, it's new, it's not something that's real tested. But the more I've said it, the more I'm really, really believing it is the thing that leads to hope deferred is our expectations. We trust in our expectations and not have real faith and hope in the Lord. And so when we lean on and put our faith in these expectations that we have God to do something the way we want him to do it, it leads to hope deferred. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. And then we start to lose our faith. But the thing that caused us to lose our faith is the fact that we had these expectations. God, I need you to do this to make it look like that. Or God, I need you to do that. I mean, you know, we have a very close personal story in our own lives, things that we've believed for years and still have not seen it come to fruition yet. And there's times where it's like, but God, why not yet?
Yeah.
And I mean, the truth is, regardless of the other reason or whatever the main reason is or the reason why it doesn't happen, then God's always, always, always going to use it for his glory. And he's always going to build you and refine you in that time and process. He's going to change you. He's going to form you, and he's going to start to break things off, and he's going to build things up through that waiting process.
That's good.
So, I mean, other than the outright no's is the waiting, you know, there's the yeses, the no's, and then the waiting. The waiting, I think, is harder than a no, honestly.
You know, I think you're right because a lot of times what we end up doing when we have to wait is we start to wonder, did I miss God? Did I ask something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Should
That's
I
the
have been fasting and praying and maybe saying penance while this whole thing was going on?
Or did I
No.
not do enough fasting and praying?
Or the other thing is we wonders, is he even listening to me? Then we think to ourselves, am I even listening? Am I hearing? Lord, is there something blocking my ears here? Are you, is it do I need the Holy Ghost, earwax removal system or something? Because we're wondering if there's something majorly wrong to why we can't hear. So there's tension between that hope and disappointment. And sometimes that's where we need to be tested in our faith a lot of times the most. But here's the truth. Delay doesn't always mean denial.
It's true.
Sometimes God's protecting you from something that you can't even see yet. Maybe you haven't reached the point to where you can take the answer. And he's trying to protect your heart. Maybe you can take the answer, you just don't want to hear the answer. Whatever the case is, he's preparing you for what you've been asking for, right?
He's building you up so you can handle it. I think of the analogy of the people winning the lottery. There's a lot of people that win the lottery, and they'll win millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know what, 5, 10 years later, not only are they broke, they're usually in worse debt than before they got in. And it's, and they end up, some of them have had to end up filing bankruptcy and things like that. Why? Because their character of where they were didn't change. Their character didn't change just because they won the money. Listen, when you get that kind of money, what we have learned in life from people that we've talked to, all that does is amplify whatever your character traits are at that point. If you give, you're probably going to give a lot more. If you are selfish, you're probably going to be just as selfish, just on a grander scale. If you're materialistic, you're going to buy a whole bunch of stuff. If you're money conscious and you're like an investor or a saver, that's what you're going to do. You'll probably spend a little wild, but you'll mostly stick it all somewhere to make money off of. Gina and I have talked about this before, and I've told her, I was like, if we ever won that kind of money for whatever reason, if somebody walked up and said, not that I ever would play the lottery, I just don't. Which is a different conversation, even topic possibly, that we could talk about gambling and Christianity. But if somebody was to walk up and say, here's I don't know, $100 million or $1 billion or whatever, what would you do with it? And other than obviously setting some money aside to do something fun with the family, it would be to set things up for the future generations. So
Absolutely.
like my thought process is about legacy, and it's about building things out for the future, helping the next generation. So that's the first thing that comes to mind, because that's what I think about all the time anyway. So.
I think that's something that we've got to think about. I mean, in the Word of God, it says that wealth accumulated quickly grows wings and flies away. And that
Ooh.
goes right back to what you're saying about character. You know, the people who have multimillions and are successful and they stay that way, it's because they took the hard road to get there. You
Most of
know,
them did.
the majority of them, they went through the hard knocks, or they had a parent that taught them how to be good men, I mean, not mentors, yeah, mentors, stewards of their finances, right?
Right.
So in a way, their parents were mentors to them, teaching them how to properly steward what they had been given. Some of them didn't even give them anything. They gave them a seed as a starting point, and then they made them build their wealth, and then later on they would inherit things. The thing is we don't always know what someone's gone through in their private life, right? Even if they started out from better beginnings. But we do know the truth that the Word of God teaches us, that if you have no character, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for you to walk that straight and narrow and make the right choices. You know, it's just like you talked about that if most of the people who end up with millions or billions of dollars from the lottery, most of them fail miserably. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because they didn't build the character traits that are needed to properly steward the blessing that was given to them. Now, if they had that stewardship lesson, then they would be able to make better decisions so that they would be able to better steward and care for all that God's given them in the blessing, right?
Right.
So
Well,
stewardship is key. It doesn't matter if it's your relationship, if it's money, anything we do in life, stewardship is a key character trait that, you know, we really got to look at. You know, and I think we need, just thinking of this topic we're talking about, this might even be something we need to consider with a group conversation. This might be a very fun topic to really go
yeah, I think
deep
it
on with a
would be.
group.
I think it would be, because I think everybody would begin. I think it would just kind of spur people's thought process, and then be like, oh, ooh, ooh. But going back to what you said about character, and again, I love and I have a love-hate relationship with the Book of Romans. I love the wisdom that's in the Book of Romans, but I have a really hard time reading the Book of Romans. Because I think in this one, Paul gets really like deep, and he gets so deep that I'm like, I'm lost. I can't. So I have to take it in little chunks. But there's a couple verses in there. It says in Romans 5:3-4, it says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Right? There's actually a couple other spots. spots in the word too that Paul, I don't have it in front of me, that Paul talks about this. I believe it's in, I want to say Galatians, but probably not Galatians. I'm probably way off there. Anybody that's listening, if you know what it is, you're more than welcome to email us and help fix it. But I think James even talks about it as well. But that perseverance is so important. Think about where you are when you started your walk with the Lord. Kirk, you and I can attest to this, and anybody listening, think about where you were when you first started. And think about where you are now. I don't know, maybe a year, 5 years later, 10 years, 20 years later, and you're hearing this and you're thinking about, man, there's some things I have been through that now, man, I could easily handle this or that from back then. But back then, man, that seemed like the worst thing in the world. Doesn't seem as bad now. And this is so good. So that waiting time, when God says wait instead of yes or no. Yes or no is easier for us to handle because it's an immediate plug-in response, right? Lord, can I do this? Yes. Lord, can I do this? No. Lord, can I do this? Crickets. Chirp. Chirp. Lord, can I do this? Not yet. Not yet. Wait, when can I do it? Not yet. It's coming. It'll come.
Well, let's think about
So that
Abraham,
waiting.
man. I mean, he had to wait like what,
Yeah, look how
25
long he
years?
waited. I think it was 20. Yeah.
Like 25 years before Isaac was born? I mean,
And
come
he
on.
was so old. They were both so old that they were their physical bodies couldn't do what God had told them was going to happen.
To the point to where Sarah's like, ha ha ha. Am I actually going to feel pleasure again? It's like,
You funny.
it's like you're funny. I love my husband, but I think that time is past, Lord.
Yeah, right. So that waiting time or waiting season, it's like what we went through at Christ for the Nations. It's like a training time. That waiting season is also a training season. And I know nobody likes to hear that. I don't like even saying it because I'm like, I'm cussing at my own self. But through it, just like the Romans says, God uses that time to help develop the following things. Again, I apologize if I'm cussing at you. He develops patience in you. He develops humility. Oh, I know. He helps you to develop endurance, both spiritual and mental, emotional. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm cussing. Please forgive me, but because it hurts me to say. But in that waiting time, what and who you become sometimes is more important in the journey than what you're waiting for. Right? It's like with God, we all know that once you are in Christ, that heaven is our destination, right? So in this case, our destiny isn't necessarily the destination. Our destiny is also the journey.
Hey,
Maybe I'll.
Al is right. I mean, think about
I'm
this.
hurting.
There's a danger when we try to force God's timing in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Because we get tired of waiting and we're like, you know what? I'm going to help God out. He's my boy. I'm going to help him out. We're going to figure this out quick and easy, right? But that's where we get in trouble. Abraham and Sarah did exactly that with Hagar. They
Yeah,
got in a
God, I got
burning.
you. I'm gonna help you out.
He's like, look, Lord, I know it's right. I know how you're gonna do this. I'm gonna do it the way that I can see it in the natural, right? So because I can't see the way that you're telling me, I'm gonna go ahead and intervene in the timing of what you're doing, and I'm gonna see if I can help speed up the process. Well, I mean, my goodness, there's generational consequences for the impatience that they had. God doesn't say that he's going to prevent us from making stupid decisions. He says, I'll guide your path, I'll guide your way, but he doesn't say that I take the wheel out of your hand. I don't take the rudder out of your hand unwillingly. If you've got it, I mean, it's what it is, But he does say, if you allow me to, I'll guide and direct your path. So we've got to be willing to not rush God and allow God to direct and guide and direct and protect us in a way that keeps us out of harm's way within the boundaries of the shoreline, right? Keeping mm-hmm. us from going into areas that we're not supposed to. So I guess the real question we have to ask, how do we make sure we don't end up with something man-made and not God-oriented versus something that's God-oriented and not man-made?
Ooh, I like that. I got, you know me, I like the practicals. So I like the how-tos because it's things like that, that when things get really murky and it gets to where like, I feel like I've been waiting forever and God has left me out here in the middle of nowhere. It's those how-tos, so to speak, those practical everyday foundational truths that help bring you out of that sometimes. And I mean, it's obviously you have to seek the Lord first, right? So especially if you've been trusting and believing the Lord for something for a long time, maybe it's healing, maybe it's physical, mental, emotional, maybe it's a family member to come back to the Lord. I'd have to say absolute without a doubt. Number one, keep praying, pray consistently. And I don't mean like you got to pray every day at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 p.m., unless God tells you to do that. But make it at least, at minimum, make it a weekly thing. At minimum, like, okay, that's it. Sunday, I'm going to spend some time and I'm going to hit it in prayer. Or, you know, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday, I'm going to hit it in prayer. Whatever you feel like you're supposed to do, do that.
Does this mean I need to dress up in robes and wear one of those crazy things on my head?
I mean, if that makes you feel like in the mood, then sure, go for it. I mean, I don't think God really cares what you're wearing when you pray, but you know what I mean? I don't think that makes you more or less powerful. I've seen some folks in jeans and t-shirt be just as powerful by the Spirit of the Lord as I've seen them in fancy robes. So actually sometimes more so. So I don't think that matters when it comes to that. You can do it in your car on the way to work every morning or laying in bed at night when you're praying for all your family, pray for that. Also the other one, and I struggle with, I'm gonna be honest, I struggle with this one sometimes, especially when I feel like locked in and down and rough, is continuing to praise God for it, right? Worship is a strength for us. Worship is a foundational thing for us. And so I struggle with that one sometimes, my own self, because I get lost in the, why isn't it here yet? I've been praying forever. So I would say, again, continue to seek the Lord, dig into the scripture, dig into the word, have a regular Bible reading schedule that you follow. I'm not telling you what it is. It can be whatever works. If you want to go through the Bible in a year, do that. If you want to go through every month, I want to go through a book of the Bible, then do that. It doesn't matter what the schedule is, but hold fast to that schedule and get the word in you on the daily. Stay faithful, stay obedient in the small things, right? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So stay on those little things that keep doors closed to things that doors are closed to, and things that are open, be faithful to be like, Lord, help me close these doors. And then in the waiting, and this one I've learned really actually helps encourage me, encourage others.
Hey, there you go.
Encourage, like, you know, we talk about sowing seeds and typically we only refer that to money, but you can sow seeds in so many other ways. If you sow encouragement into others when you need that encouragement, it'll come. God will raise it up for you. And you sow love and care and genuine, when you stand with other people in faith for what they're needing and believing for, I mean, you're going to reap that back in due season. Right?
Hey, there you go.
Those are just some of the practicals I look at. I mean, I don't know about you. I know you probably got some of your own that you kind of hold to, but some are similar, but I know you got your own.
Well, I think one of the things we have to remember is faith is not a not yet piece, right? You know, the word tells us that faith without works is dead. That means we need to put our faith to work. It doesn't mean that we gain our salvation through faith, but it means that because of our faith, we'll be driven to do things for the Lord. You know, it's just the very nature of drawing closer to the Lord. So the thing is if you're in a season of delay right now, you need to hear this. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't rejected you.
Oh, yeah.
Isaiah 60, 22 says, at the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. So it's in God's timing.
Oh.
You know, he's going to make things happen in his timing. And unfortunately, there are moments where he will answer you in the moment that you don't want to hear, because it's going to be more of a, how do you put it? He's going to give you the answer when it's the moment you need to hear it. And so sometimes you're like, but Lord, it's just in time. And he's like, yeah, but I'm a just in time God. It's not that I can't give you the answer beforehand. I'm going to give you the answer when you need it. And sometimes it's all about, because I need to make sure that you're going to be obedient even when you have that short-term notice. And that's not comfortable. You know, sometimes the time doesn't feel right. You know, sometimes he's waiting for you to be right in your character, in your faith, in your circumstances, so that when he brings everything in alignment, you're not going to say, God, not yet. You're going to say, God, yes. You know, sometimes whenever we're trying to ask God about maybe even a relationship like we talked about earlier on in the show, if we're not hearing what we want to hear, sometimes it's because he's trying to protect our heart. You know, we may be pushing for that relationship that we want, and God's saying, no, this isn't it. But if we keep pursuing that thing, even whenever he's saying no, we can cause ourselves an Ishmael-type situation by causing unplanned problems or circumstances in our future that God had planned you to avoid. So when he's trying to guide and direct you away from someone, it's always for a purpose. He always wants the best for his children. You know, he wants to love on us and protect us just like any good father or mother wants to do, right? You know, there's no good father or mother out there that wants to harm their child. They always want to protect and have the best for the children. Well,
right.
And I know we need to wrap up, Vince, but before we do, let's do a closing challenge.
Ooh.
So here's the challenge for the week. Stop asking, why is it taking so long? And start asking, what is God developing within me while I wait? Delays test your patience, but they're deepening your trust.
Yeah, and it's actually building your faith. You know, when you talked about that last one in Isaiah, it sparked in me. Now I went and found it. And found it in the Amplified too. But Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. In the original, in the version up here, it says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not delay. In Amplified, it says, even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come and it will not delay. Doesn't that seem like oxymoronous to say, wait, though it tarries means though it delays, it will not delay. Wait, what?
What's going on, Lord? What are you trying to tell me, Lord?
It's like, wait, though it delays, wait for it. Patiently wait. Because it'll surely come, it will not delay. So God's already putting that, even in the Old Testament, saying, even though to us it seems like it delays, wait patiently, because that patience is building perseverance. That perseverance is going to build an endurance. That endurance is going to bring, here's the kicker. Oh, this is going to hurt. Spiritual maturity. So the very thing that Kirk is issuing as a challenge is to help build spiritual maturity in your life. Because the truth is, it's not delayed. It's just not time yet.
You know, sometimes the hardest thing that we can do in our faith is to exercise. You know, the exercise is not that we're believing that God can do something. It's that he will. You know, because sometimes that impatience in us grabs us to the core and tries to lie to us and tell us, well, he's not going to do it. He's not going to. You know, and the reality is God's saying, be patient. Be still, wait on me, listen attentively, hear my voice. Mm-hmm. And as you grow closer to me, you will begin to hear me even in the thickest of crowds because you've grown nearer to me and so accustomed to my voice that no matter the distractions around, you're going to hear me clearly. But that's what we have to realize. That's what God's trying to do in us. He's trying to stir us up into a point to where we're chasing him so hard that we understand his voice so clearly that no matter the multitude, no matter the volume, no matter how many distractions, we always clearly hear his voice and know exactly where he wants us to go.
Yes, sir.
You know, guys, if this has really touched you today, made you uncomfortable, or, you know, challenged you in any way, share this with someone else. They may need to hear this as well. We would like to hear from you. Reach us at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also support us there as well. Well, going to the website, mooseministries.org. So, guys, y'all have a good one. We'll talk to you next time.
Stay uncomfortable, y'all.
Later.